This is a BBC podcast. You can get all our podcasts and our terms of use at bbcworldservice.com/podcasts.
Now, the international documentary series Global Perspective, which this year has the theme At the Edge. This documentary, made by Michelle Ernsting from Radio Netherlands Worldwide, is called The Lonely Funeral. Two men, a civil servant and a poet, come together in their shared determination that those who die completely alone in Amsterdam should have a respectful and personal funeral.
This is the St. Barbara Chapel on the edge of Amsterdam. It's sober, elegant, and almost empty. There's a coffin at the front of the chapel. Two men sit on either side of the aisle in the first pew. The man on the left places a bouquet of flowers on the lid of the casket. He also chose the music. The man on the right stands up and walks to the front. He's written a poem for the deceased.
Er is een weg waarlangs bij helder licht een dapper man die hard de internationale zingt, met grote stappen voorwaarts gaat, ontwaakt verworpenen uit de nacht die ons onzichtbaar maakt.
Both men have spent a lot of time thinking about the person in the casket. Neither of them have ever met him.
Bloed dat uit hem stroomt, rood als het hart dat in hem klopt, rood als de wond die de vijand sloeg.
Every year in the city of Amsterdam, 15 to 20 people die alone. They have no friends or family to arrange a funeral. So in their absence, a civil servant and a poet hold a service to say goodbye.
My name is Ger Frits, Jerry in English. I am now 65 years old. And I worked all my life as a civil servant. And so I came in a job where I had to take care of people who died in Amsterdam and had no one who gave the order to do a funeral.
I met up with Ger Frits in the office by the graveyard. He has many old friends here.
We gaan een stukje over je tuin lopen, hoor.
The people I buried don't have stones. There was no money for it. So all the people I buried don't have headstones. Lots of people think that the people who are buried by cities in Amsterdam or by the government, that are poor people. And that's not true. It's all kind of people we buried. From people with lots of money, without family, with criminals, murderers. Often the police found these people. There were also people who were found in the streets. People were found in the canals. People were found in ships' containers. People died in the aeroplane while they had some drugs in their stomach.
They were drugs mules?
Yes, yes. I have had two little babies that were found in the street. They had everything. There is not a special group. No, it can happen, everyone.
And what happened in those cases where there was just nobody there to arrange the funeral?
When I started this work, it was nice funerals, but they were very, very simple. So what did the city of Amsterdam do when we had a funeral? We always ordered flowers. Why flowers? No one is coming to the funeral. Well, it doesn't matter. These flowers are not for me. These flowers are not for visitors. These flowers are for the person who passed away. It's for respect. So, flowers. We always ordered, and it took years, of course, to come to that point, we always ordered the chapel. And in the chapel, we had three pieces of music, three songs or three classical music were played. For respect of life and for respect of someone who was passed away, we could do that here.
And it was usual for you to attend most of these funerals?
Yeah. In the beginning, when I started this work, not a civil servant came to the funeral. And I thought that when there is no one to say goodbye, then a civil servant can go and say goodbye on behalf of the community. It was to say goodbye. On the other hand, we ordered the funeral so we could look, is it going as I wish?
So can you tell me a bit more about your role at the funeral? Because you're a representative of the city, yeah. You're a representative of society saying goodbye to this person. Mm-hmm. Are you also there as a mourner?
No. I didn't know the person. I was not sad. The only thing I was worried about, this is the last thing you can do. Nothing can go wrong. It was my job to do it so good as possible, and I did.
But you carry an enormous sense of responsibility. When I hear you talk about the people and your role, where does that come from?
Yeah, so much got to do with. You must like people, love people, and you do that for each other in a community.
While Herr Fritz was slowly creating a new municipal ritual, Amsterdam poet Frank Static had taken inspiration from a fellow writer who wrote a poem for a man who died anonymously.
Toen dacht ik, dat is inderdaad prachtig.
Static reckoned this was a very worthwhile thing for a city poet to do.
Toen heb ik hem uiteindelijk, ik geloof, gebeld of een e-mail gestuurd van, kunnen jullie daar wat mee?
So he called Herr Fritz's office to see if they were interested in his idea.
Nee, daar kunnen wij niks mee.
They weren't.
Vervolgens heb ik hem...
Static just kept emailing.
Telkens gebombardeerd met nieuwe e-mails, net zo lang.
Static persevered. He decided to continue mailing Herr Fritz until he was prepared to meet with him to talk about poems at the funeral.
Suddenly, my email box was filled with requests from Mr. Static. He had a great plan, poets on the funeral. He kept on sending emails.
What did you think? Did you think when you got these emails, this is a crazy idea?
No, not a crazy idea, but I thought privacy. Yeah, it's privacy. They wanted to know things about my dead persons. And
so you really felt responsible for all of these people that had been found dead?
Yeah. On a certain day, I invited him in my office. And there we had a nice chat.
Hij bood de aanblik van als een beroepsmilitair.
Static remembers it a little differently. He says he went to the social services office and met a man with a direct gaze and a military bearing.
Had hij van dat kortgeknipte borstelige haar, een snor, een sterk gegroefd gelaat.
Herr Fritz had a brush cut and a trim mustache. He wore his mobile phone in a holster. He was decisive and distant. Fritz underscored the fact that the funerals must be perfectly organized, all I's dotted, T's crossed.
Hij was zeer beslist over dat een uitvaart tot in de puntjes perfect moet verlopen en dat hij daar geen enkel.
He would not permit any breach of protocol. Chapel, flowers, three pieces of music, four pallbearers, and above all, respect for the deceased.
When he left my office, he had a bad feeling about it, and he was very amazed that a few hours later, or maybe the next morning, I don't remember, that I phoned him and said, you want to do a poem? Okay, let's try.
Static.
Static says the call was brief. Okay. Herr Fritz told him there was a death and gave a few details.
Goed. Wanneer?
But Static had the feeling he was holding back. He kept asking Fritz for more information. There wasn't much. It was an anonymous death. No one could establish the identity of the man.
Yeah. Wie.
But it was Static's first poem, so he persevered. Where was the person found? How old were they? Fritz gave him minimal information.
Nee. Okay, bedankt. Dag.
I knew a lot about the people who were dead. I often had information which I kept for myself.
And what was the information that you would hold back?
Well, poets are emotions, it's feelings. And I worked with facts. An example, men died, had 10 children. No child came to the funeral, not interested. That is a fact. But a poet could make very much emotions to that. And I didn't want it on a funeral. When someone died from alcohol, it's a fact. But I don't think it was for the poet to know that.
So it was the information that you thought might make the person look bad somehow?
Yeah.
So you worried that the poets were going to bring in that sense of judgment. And did they?
No, they never did.
Ik vond het niet zozeer frustrerend als wel...
Static says the withholding of information didn't frustrate him. In fact, he was impressed by Gerfrit's careful approach. He found the whole situation inspiring.
De situatie was een inspirerende situatie voor mij. Dus het was.
The first poem was born with ease.
Het gedicht werd vrij gemakkelijk geboren, zeg maar. Dag, man zonder naam. Ik groet u. Onderweg naar het laatste land waar ieder welkom wordt geheten. Waar niets van niemand hoeft te weten. Dag, meneer. Goodbye, stranger. I say goodbye. On the road to nowhere, to the final country where everyone is welcomed in. Where nothing needn't know your origin. Dag, meneer. Zonder papier, zonder identiteit. Farewell, sir, without papers, without identity. What were you looking for? How much did you lose along the way? Wie staart nu door een leeg raam en wacht u? Who stares through the empty window, waits, nameless man, wait while I speak and entrust my empty words to this empty room. I am too late. You, I never knew. Wie weet nog waar u vandaan kwam? Who heard the voice calling out for you to come on home, man, to your final haven, Amsterdam? Die u toen riep naar uw laatste haven, Amsterdam.
It was great. It was great. It was so good. For me, it's evil. And it started with Dag, man zonder naam. Goodbye, man without name. And it was great, great. It validated the funeral and the men from the cemetery, and they all said, that's good, that is nice. And so we continued it.
And they've kept it up, year in, year out. Lonely funerals, as they become known, with a poet and a civil servant sitting on either side of the aisle in the front pew. Static says that the poem is first and foremost for the deceased.
Ik ben geen religieus aangelegd mens, maar...
He's not a religious man, neither is Ger Fritz, but he feels that the funeral is a moment of reckoning. It's your time at Heaven's Gate.
Je komt voor de hemelpoort te staan, ja.
Someone needs to put in a good word for you. Everyone should have that right.
Dat ieder mens daar zeg maar recht op heeft.
He says one of our essential qualities is our need for a story.
De mens is een verhalenmachine. Dat maakt zijn identiteit uit. En
people are story machines. We're always busy making and remaking our stories. What the Lonely Funeral does is return stories to people who have somehow lost theirs along the way.
En wat wij met die eenzame uitvaart dus doen, is eigenlijk mensen een verhaal teruggeven.
8 years into the Lonely Funeral Project, Static continues to write poems, and has recruited other poets to take part. He's also largely taken over the choice of music. He reckons if he left it to the social services, they would almost always choose Bach or Vivaldi.
Het air van Bach en de winter van Vivaldi.
So he did say he played Pink Floyd once. He played Pink Floyd Money.
Frits?
Yeah.
Money?
Yeah.
Jeetje.
Ger Frits chose Pink Floyd because that's what he found in the deceased's record collection. It's something the city council workers keep an eye out for when they do a house inspection.
I'm Bert Kiewik, and I'm of the department who arranges the funerals in Amsterdam.
My name is Ton van Bokhoven. I work for the government of Amsterdam for the funerals.
Can I ask you, before we go in, just what you already know about this person?
The house was of his parents, and he lived here since 1951.
Long time, yeah. 60 years, almost 60 years.
Yeah, that's right.
Oh, there's all the posts on the ground. Oops.
Every time you see the loneliness when you go in, you see that there's no wallpaper, how you can live without it. And you see he hangs out all the calendars from the Chinese, so he wants to have something on the wall. And he has a picture of a beautiful Chinese woman.
Yeah, just a naked wooden floor. Everything's so dirty.
It's not one room is clean or everything is dirty. It smells. Have a look in the cupboards. Everything is dirty. It's sad.
Yeah.
When you enter a house, for instance this house, you see that he didn't know many people. Because when you know a lot of people, you try to... it's Dutch that you keep your house clean to make it beautiful, that you can ontvangen.
Welcome
people. In this house, you see, that isn't there. So I think he was very lonely.
And is that something you see in more houses, that there's a feeling?
Yeah, in a lot of houses, you see that the loneliness of people. I think... The biggest problem in society will be loneliness.
And while you're looking around for things like the insurance and bank statements, things like that, are you also keeping in mind information you might want to pass on to the poet?
If it's a lonely funeral, the poet always asks, how was the house? We say things like, he liked Chinese food, or he likes Chinese ladies. With that information, they must make the most beautiful poems.
So what do you think about this man?
I think he was not happy anymore. He didn't want to live anymore. Maybe lost love or something like that. You never know.
You're a romantic.
Yeah, I think. That's what we live for.
Okay, he's born in 1935,
yeah.
So he's 74.
Oh gosh, there's a picture of him.
Yeah.
Yep, he looks like a man in your street.
Yeah.
Yeah.
When you see people living like this in such an obviously isolated way, does it make you think about your own circumstances?
Yeah. You also think about your own circumstances. And you also think he had gone that way, but maybe I will go that way too. You never know. You never know what happens.
Standing outside the house in this prosperous, densely populated part of Amsterdam, it's hard to imagine how the man who lived here lost all contact with his community. In a way, the lonely funerals have created a small community. Ger Frits is now retired, but he and Starik still meet regularly.
When I retired, Mr. Starik, two other people, and I founded a society called the Lonely Funeral.
Don't you find it kind of funny that the guy whose emails you ignored, Frank Starik, that now you're working together?
Yeah. Yeah. We became friends. Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, ja hoor. Oh, ja hoor. In de loop van de jaren...
Starek says over the years he's come to consider Ger Frits as a friend.
Een soort vriend gaan beschouwen.
In fact, Frits is a bit like a father to him. His own father was rather tyrannical, so he's always had a bit of a problem with authority. But with Ger Frits, somehow, it works.
Maar met Frits werkt dat op de een of andere manier heel goed uit.
This is the place where the coffin was. Many of the poets, when they read the poem, they put it on the coffin so it will be buried with the deceased. With her or his poem.
And how many times do you think you've sat in that seat at the front of this church?
Well, I have to ask that. Hoe vaak heb ik hier gezeten? Honderden keren, hundreds of times.
Hundreds of times. 400 or 500 times.
Yeah.
What did you think about all the time when you were sitting, all those hours sitting here?
Well spent hours. Well spent. Yeah. The coffin is carried out of the chapel and then here the procession is formed here. It were the people who carried the coffin. And the poet and
yourself.
Yeah. And then we walk to the last place.
So are any of your people here?
Yeah, there's lots of, but no stones. Yeah.
So we're standing in front of a number of graves here. Could it be in that blank space over there that someone is buried?
Yeah, here are people buried.
So the funeral was the last way of remembering that person?
Yeah, yeah. Exactly.
And otherwise, it's really over. It's finished. There's no trace.
It's over, yeah.
Goodbye, stranger. I say goodbye. On the road to nowhere, to the final country where everyone is welcomed in.
The Lonely Funeral was produced and presented for Global Perspective by Michelle Ernsting of Radio Netherlands Worldwide. The international documentary series continues next week with Wedge Island from the Australian Broadcasting Corporation, long-term squatters with shacks on the beach on the rugged coastline north of Perth fight for the survival of their community.
There are dozens of different podcasts now available from the BBC, including news, documentaries, science, business, arts and sport. The details of them all go to bbcworldservice.com/podcasts.